Enjoyed that. You have your Bibles this evening, the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Very familiar text. This is the chapter in which the Lord commands Abraham to offer his son, his only son. And Abraham was obedient and took his son and was ready to offer him, but God stopped him just short of doing so. Let's read the very first verse. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Lord, would you help us tonight to preach the word in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God? Would you speak to our hearts tonight, Father, and help us this evening as only you can? And we ask this favor, this blessing we seek in the name of our risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look again with me at verse number 2. And he said, Take now thy son, comma, thine only son, Isaac, comma, whom thou lovest. In that phrase, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. God in this verse asked for Abraham's son 3 times. I believe that any time God says something, one time, it's important. Amen. 2 times, it's very important. Amen. 3 times, boy, I could not stress the fact any further. Now, in verse number 1, the word tempt does not mean a solicitation to do evil, but is a testing. And it is not a testing for God's sake, for God knew what Abraham would do, but is a testing that is for Abraham's sake. And when God tests us, he already knows what's in us, but I need to know what's in me. He wants me to know what's in me. Now, God asked Abraham for his son 3 ways. And if I can find out what God wanted out of Abraham, I believe I can learn what God wants or expects from me. I want to preach on what does the Lord want. Number 1, when I look at that first phrase, take now thy son. In the Bible days, a son under a certain age would be considered a possession, an exalted servant. It's not that his father didn't love him, but that his son is what Abraham had as a possession. Number 1, God wants what Abraham had. God wants what Abraham has, every bit of it. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. In the New Testament, in the book of James chapter 1, verse 17, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness. Now, you and I, on this earth, we're gathering things to ourselves. But everything that you gather, every wealth, every possession, God gave it to you. And I am a steward of what God gave to me. Job stresses this. When Job was bankrupt of all his possessions, bereaved of all his children, which were a type of possession, if I could say it like that, listen what he said when he lost all his finances, when he lost his family. He said, The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job recognized that everything he had was given to him by the Lord. You may say, I have this, I have that, and I have the other thing. What does God want? He wants it all. God wants everything. May I ask you a question? Is there something that you have that you would not give to God if He required it? Tonight, if God asked you for something, is there something you would hold back? What God wants from you and I is He wants all that we have. In fact, He's the one who gave it to us. Is there something so precious to you that when God required it, you would say, no, you can't have it? God, that's off limits. I'll do anything else, but that's off limits. God wants what you have. By that middle phrase, thine only son, Isaac. You understand that Isaac was not God's only son. God has another son. Abraham has another son. Abraham's other son is Ishmael. He's the son of the flesh. You remember God made Abraham a promise. And in that promise He said, I'll give you an heir. I'll give you a promised seed. But Abraham, after waiting and waiting, grew impatient on God. And so his wife said, take my handmaid Hagar. And in Genesis 16, he took Hagar and she conceived a child. And now Ishmael is the child of the flesh. And yet, when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100, yet God gave them a child. Imagine your old grandpa saying, son, I've got news. Me and your grandma's going to have a baby. Your teeth would fall out. But they had a bouncing baby boy by the name of Isaac. And he's a picture of the promise. He's a picture of the spiritual birth, while Ishmael is a picture of the flesh. Amen. Now, what the Lord is saying here is I want you to give me your hope. You understand that through, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 15. We need to read this verse. Genesis chapter 15. The Lord's talking to Abraham. And Abraham said, Lord, what are you going to give me? What will you give me? Seeing that I go childless. Verse 3. I have no seed. Verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he thou shalt come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. He says to Abraham, I want what you have. All of it. Abraham, I want your future. But God, my future's in Isaac. All my descendants, all my future plans, all my dreams, all my goals, all my aspirations, they're in Isaac. God said, I want that. I want all your plans. Preacher, I plan on getting married. Preacher, I plan on getting a job. Preacher, I plan on going to school. Preacher, I plan on having kids. Preacher, God says, give me all your plans. Give me all your goals. Give me, those are mine. Give them to God. God wants your hope. He wants your dreams. And you need to say, Lord, I give it to you. Abraham did, and you do what you will with it. Thirdly, by the phrase, whom thou lovest. Abraham loved this boy Isaac. Why? He's asked God, what will you give me? And God said, I'm going to give you a son. And he's waited 25 years to have this child. And when this child was born, and he 100 and his wife 90, don't you know that he loved that boy with all his heart? God says, Abraham, I want what you have. All of it. Abraham, I want your hopes, your dreams, your future, your plans. All of it. Abraham, I want your heart. I want the very thing that has your heart. What is it tonight, church, that has your heart? What is it that your heart longs for? What is it that you're passionate about? God wants it. He wants you to give it to Him tonight. It may be a good thing. He wants it. It may be some bad thing, some ungodly thing that you desire, that your heart's after. Give it to God. Now, when we think about it tonight, God wants what I have, what I hope for, and He wants what my heart wants. Abraham took his boy. Let's read about it. In Genesis chapter number 22, the Bible says in verse number 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham was willing to give what he had, what he hoped for, and all his heart to God. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. What happens here? When you give God what you have, God will not be outgiven. When you give God what you have, He'll give you what He has. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. That's a picture of Jesus. Remember that crown of thorns that he wore? And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. What does it say? In the stead of his son. God, while Abraham was going up that mountain, God was a nudging that ram to go, which is a picture of what God will do one day when Abraham was willing to give his son, and God gave his son that you and I might be saved. Look with me in verse number 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. It is as if the Lord showed him, because you gave to me, I'm going to give my son as a substitute. I'm going to give my son for your sins. I'm going to give my son for your son. What a trade that God would give his son for me. Abraham gave his future, his plans, his hopes, his goals, his aspirations, his hope. He gave it to the Lord. And when you give your hopes to the Lord, God will give you his hope, his plan, his goal, his future. When Abraham gave God what he hoped for, God gave him multiplication. He gave him his future. Again, I read to you in Genesis chapter 15. Turn back. God, listen. God's going to give to Abraham. How many sons did Abraham give to God? One. He gave him Isaac. But my Bible says that God told him, verse 5, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You give me one son, and I'm going to give you manifold. Your seed will be numbered like the stars if you can number them. You give me one that I'll not be outgiven, says the Lord. You give me your hope, your dream, your future, and listen, God's a better planner than I am. I remember I used this illustration one time. Hannah, where's Charlie? Charlie, can I borrow you again? Would you come down here some, please? Yep, come on down here. There's a little boy one time. He had a nickel, and he went into the mercantile store years ago, and he said, Mister, what can I get for a nickel? And so the owner of the shop came out and set down a candy jar, And he said, you can get a whole handful of this candy right here for a nickel. And so the little boy said, a whole handful. He said, that's right, son. The little boy left his nickel on that countertop and he run out of the store. Run. Hurry. And the mercantile store was standing there. And he was wondering, what on earth? The boy left his nickel. Didn't get his handful of candy like I thought he would. And the next thing he knew, come walking in the store, was that little boy. And he got his daddy. And he said, sir, is it really a handful for just a nickel? And he said, that's what I told you. He said, I brought my daddy because his hands are bigger than mine. I've got a father. Thank you. I've got a father that's a great planter. And I may give him a little, but man, he's got a whole handful of purpose just for me and just for you. Thirdly, Abraham gave what his heart loved. Listen, verse 15, Genesis 22. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And I wonder, this angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate, Jesus Christ, he calls out of heaven and he said, this is why I think it's the Lord, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. He gave his heart. He gave his, what had his heart, he gave to the Lord. And the Lord said, now I'm going to give you my heart. And he hears God speak what no other human being had ever heard God speak. An oath, the covenant, the promise of the Almighty. I can read to you. Let's read. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse number 13. I believe Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. If you disagree, you can apologize later. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Consolation, what is that? Of the heart. Of the heart. God's given us his heart, trying to give us consolation of the heart. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. God said, Abraham, you gave me what had your heart. I'm going to give you mine. Come with me. I want to share with you my heart. Wow, that God, here we are tonight, that God wants to fellowship with us. That I... thrice holy God, and then some, would want to come down and share his holy heart and commune and fellowship with us. Absolutely mesmerizes me. He desires a closeness with us. We have handfuls of blessings on this earth. We have our hearts full of blessings on this earth. Can you just imagine, say there's a child and you've got its arms full of toys and goodies and things that it wants. And there it has all these things. And you say, okay, I have something to give you. And it can't hold another thing. And it says, put down what you have and let me give you this. This is mine. I've worked hard to gather all these toys and building blocks and all these trinkets and all these things. But if you'll trust me and put down what you have, I have something greater to give you. And then the child sets it down, amen, and to only find out that what the father had to give them was even greater than what they just let go. And it's still theirs, and God gave them even more blessings. I'm telling you, God wants somebody tonight. He wants what you have. Will you give it to him? He wants what you hope for. Will you give it to him? He wants what's consuming your heart. Will you give it to him? That he might have fellowship with you. And who is it tonight? God has blessed you. Who is it tonight just will say, Lord, and God's speaking to you and saying, I have something I want to give you. Well, Lord, I can't take anymore. I have something I want to give you. I want you just to set down what I've given you already. Just set it down and trust me. And just watch. That's what Abraham did. Just watch what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you everything you set down and then some. Tonight, there's somebody here. And God's been dealing with your heart about letting some things go, or maybe you've let some things go and the devil's trying to attack you. And God has sent me tonight to give you an assurance that what you've given to God, God will fulfill with greater than you let go. I want you to stand to your feet real quick. I'm done. Maybe somebody here. God's asking you, can I have? Will you give to me all that you have? Preacher, I don't know. I've got some things. Will you trust me with it? Oh, my. Oh, my. What a truth he's speaking tonight. He wants to help you, church. Father, just as Abraham laid his Isaac down, God, he received back not only his son, but he received back the blessings of an almighty God. Tonight, Lord, we come before you. And God, this service, this time together, is committed into your hands. And Lord, I'm asking your blessing. God, would you feel? God, would you touch these arms, these hands, these hearts, these minds, these lives? God, tonight, that they're saying, Lord, I surrender all. What I have, 100% of it, it's yours. Without you, I have nothing anyway. Lord, not only do I give you what I have, but Lord, I give you what I hope for, what I desire, my plans. God, they're yours. And then, Lord, tonight, God, I want to give you what has my heart. That we captures us. God, it's yours. And Lord, we trust you with the outcome. God, tonight, I ask your blessing. God, to be upon your people. And God, you'd help them from henceforth. And for this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You sit back to your seat. Sit back down in your seat once you're... Tonight I was supposed to be away preaching in a revival meeting. And the meeting got canceled because there's COVID there in the church where I was going to be going. And it allowed me to be here tonight. And I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be here. And I had asked Preacher Remington if he'd fill in my absence while I was gone. And then the revival canceled and I told him. And he said, Pastor, he said, you go back to the pulpit and preach. And I said, son, I want you to preach. He said, no, I want you to preach, Pastor. And I said, well, I want you to preach, Brother Rim. I preach all the time. Give me the night off and let me rest. And then God said, no, I'm not letting either one of you off. In fact, don't tell them, but every preacher that's here, you're getting ready to get in the pulpit for about 5 or 6 minutes. And Luke, since you're seated where you are, you're going to go first. So I hope you got it ready, son. Y'all pray for Luke Waldrop as he comes to preach tonight. Amen.
Matthew chapter number 16. And when you found your place, if you would please stand. I want to read verse number 15. Matthew 16, verse number 15. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to preach on this thought. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord God, I thank you, God, for the opportunity, God, Lord, of an unexpected God. Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that you've been good to us tonight, God. Lord, I thank you that you've been good to us always, Lord. I pray tonight, God, that you help us, God, Lord, to preach your word, God. Lord, help us to be in season and out of season, God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you'd help us, God. Lord, you fill us up, God, with your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, that only you can give to us, God. Lord, we recognize, God, that the power does not come from the man, God, but Lord, that it comes from you, God. And so I'm asking of you, Father, would you bring it down to us tonight, God? Would you grant us, Father, your Holy Spirit, God, to be breathed upon us tonight, God? Lord, we'll pray, God, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so on the reverse of that, the church will prevail against the gates of hell. The church tonight, it cannot lose. We are on the winning side tonight. We cannot lose. We are predestined to win. The Bible says it, and I believe what the Bible has to say. And I believe that the devil, he knows that he's on the losing side himself. He knows good and well that he's on the losing side. And the devil cannot win. So I want to tell you tonight that if you turn your back on the church, then you've turned your back on God. If you turn your back on the church, you are now on the losing side. You're only on the winning side when you're for the church and when you're with the church. The devil cannot win. And I want to tell you why. If you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 17. The Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So I want to tell you tonight that Jesus is the head of the church. And so if the church is going to prevail, Jesus is the head. And we know that Jesus cannot lose. And so we know that the church cannot lose because we have Jesus at the head. You want to defeat the church? You got to defeat Jesus. And it just cannot be done. The devil, he tried to defeat Jesus and he could not. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 15. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." I want to tell you that Satan, he went and he tempted Jesus. He went and tempted Jesus out in the wilderness, and yet Jesus sinned not. It says that the Bible says that he was tempted in all ways that we are tempted, and yet he sinned not. So Satan could not defeat Jesus. So Satan cannot defeat the church. I want to tell you tonight, mankind cannot defeat Jesus. They tried to crucify him, but he came back to life on the third day. Mankind cannot defeat the church. I want to tell you tonight that death cannot defeat the church. The church will live on. Though people may die out of the church will live on. I want to go on record and say that if a preacher was to die, if somebody come through and killed all the preachers, I believe that God would raise up another preacher the next day. Because the church will prevail. The church will prevail. Death could not defeat Jesus. Jesus got up victorious over death on the third day and he rose again. And I tell you, the grave cannot hold Jesus neither. The grave cannot keep the church down. Jesus and God are one as well. The Bible says in John chapter number 10, verse number 30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." So if you want to defeat the church, you got to defeat Jesus. And if you want to defeat the church and Jesus, you got to defeat God. And it just cannot be done to defeat God. Satan rose against God. And what happened to Satan? He was cast out of heaven. And he's down here on earth to try to take us with him to hell. Keep on serving God. Stay in the church. Don't turn your back on the church. God's for you. Who can be against you? But on the contrary, if you're against God, who would be for you but the devil? The devil's for you if you're against God. The devil's for you if you're against the church. But I want to tell you something. Stay on your knees, church. Keep on praying and believing, because Jesus is for you tonight. Jesus is the head of the church, and he's for you tonight. Okay.
Woo! Hallelujah. Stay with it, amen. We're on the winning side, amen. Why we always got such a frown? Hallelujah. We've won. Thank God Almighty. We've won. Amen.